From Williamsport to Greensburg, Katanning to Middletown, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, despite a national upswing in employment, Pennsylvania businesses are struggling to find qualified employees. Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business is here to discuss results of the Fall 2023 Keystone Business Climate Survey. Mental health is in the community benefit spotlight this month as Joe Geiger talks with Dr. Bob Murray, Chief Medical Officer of NextGen Healthcare. And an effort is underway to expand healthcare options in Pennsylvania by allowing nurse practitioners full practice authority. Emily Green from Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania has this week's Lincoln Radio Journal commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Thousands of Pennsylvanians gathered on the steps of the state capitol building on Monday for the annual March for Life. Multiple speakers rallied the crowd in support of protections for the unborn. The rally in particular took aim at Governor Josh Shapiro, who cut off resources to pregnant women's services for agencies that advocate for bringing babies to term. For his part, Shapiro attacked the rally in a tweet calling it, quote, anti-woman. He vowed to veto any legislation protecting the unborn that arrives at his desk. Allegheny County, which includes the city of Pittsburgh, is heavily Democrat by voter registration, but traditional Democrats splintered the primary vote for county executive last spring, resulting in the nomination of a far-left candidate, Sarah Inamorato, who is struggling to escape her past affiliations with the Democratic Socialists of America, a group that currently is spouting anti-Israel rhetoric. In the meantime, Republicans have nominated centrist businessman Joe Rocky, whose campaign has gained traction, even winning the support of some segments of organized labor. The district attorney race in Allegheny County also pits a George Soros-backed left-wing Democrat against incumbent district attorney Stephen Zapala, who lost the Democratic nomination in the primary but secured the Republican nod, setting up a general election rematch. An organization that ranks the fiscal health of all states says that Pennsylvania scored a D. The Center Square reports that the recently released 14th Annual Financial State of the States report by Truth in Accounting found that even though Pennsylvania's financial condition improved last year, unfunded pension obligations and promised medical benefits put the state in negative financial territory. As a result, Pennsylvania joined five other states, including Hawaii, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New Jersey, to earn the designation as taxpayer sinkhole states. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Finding and keeping qualified employees, along with inflation and the general state of the economy, tops the list of challenges facing Pennsylvania employers. Those were the results of the Lincoln Institute's Fall 2023 Keystone Business Climate Survey. Here to parse through the results and discuss what they mean is Greg Moreland. Greg is Executive State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business, Pennsylvania Chapter. Greg, welcome back to Lincoln Radio Journal. Greg, when we look at results of the Fall 2023 Keystone Business Climate Survey, one of the things that really stands out is the degree to which businesses in Pennsylvania are still having difficulty finding qualified employees. As you talk with businesses around the state, do you see that happening? And why are we still in that situation?
Absolutely. I think if you drive up and down the main streets in our local communities, you're still going to see those help wanted signs. Many businesses are still operating under capacity for their employee rate. And so this has been a longstanding issue for many small business owners. It's right up there with inflation. Inflation and locating qualified workforce have been the number one and number two complaint of small business owners, you know, for the past year and more. And so we're certainly seeing an inability to fill some of these skilled workforce positions, mainly in the construction industry, where they're having a really tough time trying to fill some of those those vacant positions where it's not just like someone can walk in off the street and take that job as a cashier or a first-time unskilled laborer would. These are skilled positions in many industries, and we're really seeing that small business owners are just not finding available workforce. And I think it really has to do with a lot of folks over COVID left the workforce, and they're just simply not even seeking employment anymore. And they've cashed out early on their retirements, and or they've decided and made a family decision to stay home with the kids or whatever it may be. But they just simply have not come back to the workforce. And that's a big concern for our small business owners.
One of the things that we have found with this survey, which, by the way, we take every 6 months, have done so now for about 27, 28 years, and it's been a fairly accurate barometer of what's happening. As you mentioned, after COVID, we saw a drop off in the workforce. So the fact that businesses have been having difficulty finding employees, this has been going on now for 2-3 years. But once again, we found here, Greg, that we had 33%, a third of the businesses are having even more difficulty now. And to what do we ascribe the fact that the situation is not only staying where it was, but it appears to be getting worse?
I think many folks that are looking for work are out there looking for the absolute perfect job, right? They don't want to take a job out in the heat. They don't want to take a job where they have to work evenings, odd schedules, weekends, holidays, right? And so they have kind of went back to the drawing board of what they want to do. And many folks want to work in an air-conditioned environment, 9 to 5, get paid holidays off and weekends off, and have a defined schedule. And there's just not a lot of industry out there that operates in that capacity. I mean, many small businesses are open on the weekends, open on the holidays, open on evenings. And so it creates a difficulty. And I think a lot of folks have gone from working in some of these skilled positions to more administrative fields. And so we're seeing less open availability in administrative fields, but we're seeing more open positions in those industries where there is more skilled labor and odd schedules and possibly not even defined compensation. I think the service industry is really hurting right now for servers. Our restaurant owners are really crying for some help on the servers. And I think many of those servers have kind of gone away. And they've decided to change career paths and go for something that's a little bit more defined. And that's going to be a real problem when it comes to, you know, we all like to go out to eat. We all like to go out to these small businesses. But what happens when you hit the door and the door's closed and the lights are off, right? Because they can't find available workforce to stay open. And that's what we've seen. You know, you can't find a bar that stays open until 2 this time, right? They all close at 11, 12, you know, whatever it may be, but they're closing earlier. Back when 2018-19, before the pandemic, that was not a thing. They stayed open maximum time they possibly could to maximize their revenue. That's simply just not the case anymore. They don't have the manpower to staff it.
And we have seen, and the survey shows, that businesses have done things like increasing salary and pay. They've added benefits, expanded benefits, given additional paid time off, reduced work hours. The business owners and CEOs have done all these sorts of things here, Greg. And they're still not getting enough employees. So what impact does this have on the business going forward if they just can't get enough of workers to keep the business going?
So I think a lot of businesses have been hurting for available workforce, and it's going to force them to close down. It's going to force them to change their business model of, you know, do they offer all the products and services that they once offered? It's a devastation to a small business owner because employees are really their best commodity, right? Employers want to treat their employees like family, especially in a small business where you only have, you know, 10 employees or so. These folks are like family. So they want to raise the compensation levels. They want to provide more benefits. But some business models and some businesses simply just don't allow healthcare costs. Healthcare costs have gone through the roof. It is very expensive for a small business owner to have a healthcare policy for their employees. And so I remember our former governor still standing there at the podium saying, well, if you just paid the workers more, they would come back. Well, our small business owners have raised compensation levels far beyond where they were 3 years ago, and the workers still have not come back.
We are talking with Greg Moreland, who is state director of the Pennsylvania chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business, talking about results of the Lincoln Institute's Fall 2023 Keystone Business Climate Survey. Greg, the business owners are concerned about inflation. They're concerned about the current and future state of the economy. Looking ahead 6 months, we're seeing that they think things can get even worse.
Yeah, I wish the report had better news, but it's simply the reality that we're in right now. Current and future economic conditions are very troublesome for our small business owners throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the nation. And I think what we've seen coming out of Washington is we've printed a lot of money over the last 3 years. There have been supply chain disruptions, the COVID shutdown. This has all been the perfect storm for a small business owner to raise inflation. And where employers go with that is they only have one place to kind of release that pressure, and that's through raising costs of their goods and services to their customers, right? And that's where we're seeing inflation rates all throughout the economy, and we're seeing that products and services have escalated in price over the last 3 years at a dramatic clip. Look at the gas that we have right now. We're still pumping $3.80, you know, near $4 gas. I mean, this has gone on for quite some time. This is really stretching the wallets and pockets of our business owners and our constituents, and it's really troublesome. I wish there was better news to report, but it's a tough time for small business owners right now. I'm often asked, why would an individual start a business right now in Pennsylvania? And you know, sometimes I have to sit and scratch my head, you know, because it's a tough environment right now, especially if you're just starting out or started within the last 3 years. Extremely tough environment to operate a business in.
One of the components of the business climate survey, Greg, is that we do ask a job performance question on the top elected officials and also the top fiscal officials of the nation. And I guess it could best be summed up as they don't particularly like anybody from either party.
No. Yeah. It looks as though everyone is nearly underwater here with negative ratings better than their positive ratings. And I think that's unfortunate. I think that kind of shows the climate that we're living in, is that everyone is disgruntled right now with their elected officials and the way that government's operating. I don't think it's the fault of just one person here in the Commonwealth. I think it's a plethora of folks who may have dropped the ball and not representing their constituents to the best of their ability. But it's a tough time to be a politician right now. Not much love from the public.
The only person who was above water, and we did do a job performance question on President Joe Biden, who turned it into the absolute worst numbers, 57% negative. John Fetterman, Robert Casey, all of them had higher negatives than positives. The only person with a net positive was Governor Josh Shapiro, and even that was not really stellar. It was 41% positive, 36% negative. You think the governor's still a little bit on a honeymoon, as it were?
I do. I think he comes off very well in the public eye. I think a lot of people would like to maybe sit down and have a beer with him, and I think that's kind of how they typically judge their positive and negatives. It's the old beer test. Would I sit down and have a beer with the individual? And he comes off like a very energetic individual. I don't think that this rating is based off of policy necessarily. I think it's based off of PR. We have enough of a track record with President Joe Biden to base it on policy. I think with Governor Shapiro right now, still the honeymoon period, and I'll be interested to see what this survey says in a year from now.
Well, we will have another Keystone Business Climate Survey again in the spring and next fall. You can see the numeric results of the Fall 2023 Keystone Business Climate Survey at lincolninstitute.org. We have been talking with Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business Pennsylvania. Greg, tell us a little bit about NFIB. Also, what's your website?
Sure. NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization solely dedicated to representing the interests of small business owners. We want to protect the interest of a business owner to grow, operate their business and to own it, right? And so what we see is there's a lot of government interference, and a lot of the government wants to put their hands into the owners' pockets of a small business owner. And so we're there to help protect them. We have about 13,000 members here in Pennsylvania, about 300,000 nationwide. We have a very big presence in Washington, D.C. And you can find more information at www.nfib.com/Pennsylvania. Or if you want to look at the national website, it's just www.nfib.com.
Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business. Greg, thank you for being back with us.
Thank you very much, Loma.
Mental health is just as important as physical health. As Joe Geiger learns from Dr. Bob Murray of NextGen Healthcare in this month's Community Benefit Spotlight.
Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Dr. Murray, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Dr. Murray, I can imagine that each of the questions that I can ask you today are probably a full course in a graduate program somewhere, but we'll get some interesting and important information out to the listeners. Dr. Murray, tell us a little bit about the significance of mental health in our country right now. Well, how do you define mental health?
Mental health symptoms of anxiety and depression in particular, are very common in U.S. adults. Anxiety and depression symptoms affect maybe a quarter of those in the U.S., and there's a very strong connection between mental health and physical health.
It's a trending that this is becoming more common, or has it always been like this and we didn't recognize it? The sense that I have is that it's getting more and more prevalent.
I do get that sense, too. The data shows that these symptoms are being reported more commonly. Is that because they were existing before and not reported, or are things affecting more commonly? I think it's still out there. It is definitely affecting younger people more prevalently than it ever has in the past. Maybe 40 to 45% of U.S. adults under 30 are having symptoms of anxiety and depression. And some may not even realize what those are. They can be physical symptoms. You can feel a racing heart rate or sweating or panic. You can feel fatigued, trouble sleeping, trouble concentrating. And those are in addition or in lieu of mood symptoms. You can feel anxious. You can feel a sense of doom. You can feel sad. You can feel hopeless or worthless. Or you're not enjoying life. So it can appear in a variety of ways, and it is very common.
Might you attribute that to the amount of connectivity that younger people have today with the iPhones and the social media, all that kind of thing?
It's possible. Those young people, I think that's one issue, and there's a lot of research into that. I do think that the pandemic hit that age group very hard as well, right? This is a time in their lives where they should be establishing and strengthening relationships at work and at home and with family, and that was really taken away from them. So I don't know that we know the reason why, but those symptoms and states are very common in that age group. But they can reach out. They can feel better.
Where do they reach out to? Sometimes you might not want to talk to your parents or your teacher. I guess maybe you talk to your friend, but where can they reach out that it would be an effective modality?
Yeah, it's a terrific question, and many people don't realize that, so I'm glad that you asked it. I mean, I'm a practicing family medicine doctor, but we certainly recommend that you reach out to your primary care provider. Like, people may not realize that, thinking I'm having a mood issue, but that primary care provider is very well versed in how those mood symptoms or those mental health symptoms can affect your physical health and can also really help you talk your way through that. See, is something going on? Is there treatment? What would the effective treatments be? You know, what would the next steps be? Probably 50% of what walks through my door in practice is related to mental health, either as a primary or a contributing factor to whatever is going on with folks.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio program. My guest today is Dr. Murray. Dr. Murray is the Chief Medical Officer of NextGen Healthcare, and we'll share with you at the end of the interview how you can find out more information about Dr. Murray. What are some tips that you might have to have an effective conversation with that provider?
They are there as your partner to try to help figure things out with you. So say, you know, I think I might be having a problem with anxiety or with depression. You know, do a little thinking before that encounter with them and think about your mood and what it's like and how often it happens. And there are many moods. Think about symptoms you're having. Maybe those are related, maybe not. You know, you can figure that out with your provider. And most importantly, think about how it's affecting your life. Like, how is what is going on making it hard for for you to have good relationships or in your career.
I noticed somewhere in the information that Russell had shared with us that women tend to experience mental health challenges more than men. I just got myself in trouble with my wife, but could you expand on that?
How mental health affects any individual, right, can vary a lot, and so generalizations can be a little bit limiting. But it is true that research shows that many symptoms of anxiety and depression do seem to affect women more often. There are probably numerous biological and cultural reasons for this. And in addition, sometimes in men, the symptoms are things like anger that they may not realize are actually a mental health issue. But regardless of the symptoms or the gender, everyone can feel better and should reach out to their primary care provider or a trusted health professional.
I understand that there are new technologies available in providing mental health care treatment. Address that a little bit.
One of the good things that came out of the pandemic, right, was all of these Zoom calls, right? Those turned into virtual visits with your primary care provider or if you have a mental health provider. And that kind of virtual video or video visit technology, NextGen Healthcare provides that to lots and lots of practices of family or all kinds of specialties across the country, mental health professionals. And they're very common. And interestingly, patients who are seeking either physical health or mental health treatment virtually over video visit, they find that type of care very effective and they want to continue. Having that in our toolbox as care providers can be very helpful.
There's also been a stigma attached to if you're having issues with mental health about contacting a health care provider. How can you help people get through that stigma?
Yeah, there is a stigma around it. I think some people have trouble asking for help. Some people may not recognize that the mood or that the symptoms that they're having actually have a cause that's rooted in their mental health. I think some people are thinking, well, you know, my life is good. There's no reason why I should feel anxious or if I should feel depressed. And that in itself is actually a barrier. But if you're experiencing these kinds of things, reach out, find a primary care provider or go to yours and talk with them about it and figure it out with them.
Mental health has been an issue for a long time. So how do you know you're making a difference in this industry?
That is a good question. It's hard to know. Are we emerging from the pandemic healthier than we were before? And so those of us in the trenches, all we can do is keep encouraging people to reach out if they feel like they may be experiencing signs of mental health, and we will do our best to care for them.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio program. My guest today is Dr. Bob Murray. Dr. Murray is the Chief Medical Officer of NextGen Healthcare. Dr. Murray, if somebody would like to contribute or volunteer or want more information, how can they find you?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to do is start off with cdc.gov/mental health. It's a good unbiased source of some general information around how mental health can affect people and either you or someone around you and what steps you should take to make things better.
Thank you, Dr. Murray. It's great to know there are people out there like you that can help us. This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio program. My guest today again is Dr. Bob Murray, who's the Chief Medical Officer of NextGen Healthcare. Thank you, Dr. Murray.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Back to you, Loman.
State government thinks it needs to give a permission slip for healthcare professionals to do their job. Efforts are underway to change that, as we learn from Emily Green of Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania on this week's Lincoln Radio Journal commentary.
When it comes to Harrisburg politics, big government will always err on the side of control versus freedom. When it comes to Harrisburg bureaucrats, they believe that capable healthcare professionals need a permission slip to practice their trade. Despite a growing healthcare shortage across the nation, with its impact particularly hurting the Commonwealth, Harrisburg remains reticent to hear legislation that would allow highly qualified nurse practitioners to serve patients to the fullest extent of their training and their expertise. In simpler terms, big government is telling expertly trained healthcare professionals that they can't fully do their jobs without physicians looking over their shoulder. Policy and politics isn't always black and white, but in the case of full practice authority for nurse practitioners, it's pretty clear. allowing NPs to practice to the fullest extent of their training without government permission slips that take the form of lengthy physician collaborative agreements would allow hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania patients quicker access to quality health care. For years now, qualified nurse practitioners have been advocating for the ability to work in underserved regions of the state without burdensome physician collaborative agreements. Last month, the Health Resource and Services Administration reported that there are over 500,000 people living in primary care designated health professional shortage areas. 621,000 Pennsylvanians live in a designated HPSA with limited access to primary care. These numbers should startle Harrisburg and inspire action, yet legislation to allow greater access to care has yet to be considered in the Senate, at the very least for a hearing. What's more, the idea of removing healthcare professionals from the grips of bureaucratic red tape enjoys significant bipartisan electoral support. Americans for Prosperity PA recently released polling ahead of this week's Care for PA press event at the Capitol that showed overwhelming enthusiasm for full practice authority for nurse practitioners. According to the polling, commissioned between May 26th and June 3rd of this year, 84% of patients who saw a nurse practitioner were satisfied with the care that they received, comparing that to the 83% satisfaction rate reported by patients who saw a physician only. Of the 700 Pennsylvanians surveyed, 57% believe that allowing full practice authority for nurse practitioners would have, quote, a positive impact on patients' quality of care. Pennsylvanians know that the idea of government-issued permission slips that allow professionals to do their jobs is an archaic thought. The issues that plague our society, such as healthcare shortages across the Commonwealth, deserve transformative policy solutions. Senate Bill 25, or Full Practice Authority for Nurse Practitioners, sponsored by Senator Cameron Bartolotta and Senator Lisa Boscola, will allow the free market to solve for these gaps. However, Senate leadership must act quickly and allow this legislation to be heard and debated on the Senate floor. Urge your senator to ask that Senate Bill 25 be brought up for a hearing. Demand that Harrisburg allows for a personal option to care, giving you, the patient, more choice and personalization in your healthcare plan. Head to personaloptionpa.com today to learn more and fight back against big government's control over your care. Again, head to personaloptionpa.com, learn more, sign your name to our growing list of supporters for the Personal Option Plan. This is Emily Green, Deputy State Director with Americans for Prosperity, Pennsylvania.
If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 28 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth. They include WDAD-AM in Indiana, WFYL-AM in Jeffersonville, along with WRWV-FM in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
Thank you.